Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. Battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor. Strength to
Lesson 174, Spiritual Relationships. In our last lesson, we learned how each member of the triune God is involved with our Christian walk, for we are to be imitators of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and follow Christ's example in our marriage relationships. Today, we will continue to learn about walking worthy of our calling through our spiritual relationships. In this chapter, we will find several spiritual relationships mentioned. When we say spiritual relationship, what we mean is how a Christian, that is, walking by the Holy Spirit, relates to others. The first relationship mentioned is how children are to relate spiritually to their parents. Christian children are expected to obey their parents and give them honor. Of course, this is true of every child, not just Christians, but those children who are being raised in a Christian home must learn that God desires for them to be obedient to their parents. The promise of Scripture is that those who honor and obey their parents will live long on the earth. The next relationship is that of a Christian father to his children. He is not to abuse his children so that they lose heart and become discouraged, but he is to train them through the Word of God. He also mentions servants. This could be applied to slaves, which was a common status in the Roman world to which Paul was writing. It could also be applied to any servant, which includes just about all of us in our various occupations, for we all answer to some human authority or boss. The servant is to also show obedience to his boss or master. He mentions that a servant should not just obey when being watched, but to do his work so as to please the Lord in all that he does. Our work as Christians is for the Lord, and so we ought to honor him in it. Masters or bosses are not to take advantage of those under their authority by mistreating them. They should remember that they too have a master in heaven, and he does not show favoritism. These various relationships could be broadly applied to each of us, for we all have authorities in our lives, whether parents, bosses, teachers, church leaders, that we are expected to be obedient to. Human authority is never perfect, but that does not excuse us from obeying all the authorities in our life. The only case where we may not be forced to obey an authority is when the authority calls upon us to do something in direct disobedience to the Word of God. For instance, if my boss at work asks me to lie about something, then I must politely refuse to comply with his request, because lying is a sin before God. We all have spiritual responsibilities to those under our authority or those who are above us in authority. Our Lord expects us to relate properly to all authority if we are to walk worthy of our calling in Christ. Paul will now speak about our spiritual relationship to the devil. He is our opponent and always seeking our harm, and therefore we need to prepare ourselves for spiritual battles with Satan. Paul describes several facets of Roman armor to draw spiritual lessons about how to prepare and protect ourselves from our enemy. The devil is much more powerful than we are, and our only strength against him is the greater power of God, which works on our behalf as we are God's beloved children. This is spiritual power to fight against spiritual forces. In order for us to take advantage of God's power to protect us, we need to cooperate with the Lord in several areas of our spiritual life. Thus, we need to put on the whole armor which God provides. We are to be surrounded with the belt of truth. This means we should let God's word be a constant influence in our lives, surrounding us on every side. We also need the breastplate of righteousness. It is not enough to hear God's word daily. We also need to obey the word of God if we want God's protecting hand upon us. Our feet are to be prepared for moving out into the world to share the gospel. If our minds are not interested in the salvation of souls, and our mind is distracted from God's purposes, then the devil will be glad to sidetrack us with all kinds of entertainment and useless worldly pursuits. The shield of the Christian is his faith. He overcomes the world and Satan when he believes God's word and acts according to it. The helmet of salvation is there to protect us from the world's way of thinking. by taking God's Word and allowing it to shape our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. And finally, we also need the sword of the Spirit, that is God's Word, and use it wisely so the Spirit of God can do His work of conviction in our lives and through us for the sake of others. Perhaps the greatest weapon of all is prayer. We are to pray always by the leading of the Spirit of God. Prayer requires a spiritual attentiveness and perseverance if we are to be of help to the church. Satan is always ready to pounce on a weak believer, but we can win the battles against him through persistent prayer for God's people. Paul valued prayer very much and was not ashamed to ask the Christians to pray for him and for his labors for the Lord. He wanted through the help of their prayers to be able to speak boldly and make everyone learn of God's revelation of the gospel. He was God's ambassador, but locked up with chains in a prison cell. This does not deter his spiritual vision and determination to send out the message of hope to all. Paul wanted and felt a great need for the prayers of the Christians. He understood that to overcome spiritual battles, prayer would be his greatest and strongest ally. Paul ends this letter to the Ephesians by speaking of Tychicus, a beloved brother and servant of the Lord who would come to Ephesus to report about Paul and how he was doing. Paul's purpose was not only to let them know of himself, but also that they be comforted in their hearts. Likely it was Tychicus who carried this sacred text of Scripture to Ephesus for their spiritual blessing. What wonder must have filled their hearts as they read this letter for the first time and began to see all the great spiritual blessings that belong to them in Christ. How they must have marveled at the greatness of God's love and His plans to make us His own eternal dwelling place. As we finish today's lesson and our study of Ephesians, I believe we should think carefully about how great God is to provide us the revelation of the gospel so that we became His children and will be with Him forever in heaven. God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. He sent forth His Word to bring the light of salvation to us, and He sends forth the Holy Spirit to teach us and convict us so that we understand and know our need for a Savior. He then calls us to believe in Christ. I hope you have chosen to place your trust in Jesus as your Savior. And if you are a Christian, I hope these studies have helped to inspire you to walk worthy of your calling in Christ. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10.
Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Put on the full armor of God. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. The heavenly places, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about the responsibilities we all have as Christians in our spiritual relationships. Children obeying, fathers teaching, servants serving with sincerity, masters acting gently, and all Christians preparing themselves for the spiritual battles they must face. Someone might ask the question, how do Christians go about battling spiritual forces? In today's chapter, we have learned about the Christian armor and how every Christian is to prepare for spiritual battles. The devil is our enemy and seeks our destruction, and we must be prepared to stand against his attacks. The Lord has graciously provided us the strength and power to overcome our enemy. We must be wise then in taking hold of these things that the Lord has provided for our protection and for winning the battle against our enemy. We use the armor of God to protect us from the powers of darkness. Today, many in the church are seeking to engage Satan in battle. They try to rebuke Satan with their chanting prayers, as though they somehow wield the Holy Spirit's power by their earnest appeals in prayer. We must be very careful that we are not trying to take on Satan in the power of the flesh. Satan will laugh with glee at those poor deluded souls who think they are somehow invoking powers against him through their deceptive showmanship. Defeating Satan is not something that can be staged for the camera and applause of the preacher. Satan is our most formidable foe, and we need to take very seriously his power to do us harm. For those who are busy putting on a spiritual show, Satan will be glad to oblige and even provide some evidence of his power so that deceived souls can continue in their darkness. Satan is the father of lies, and many that claim to be guardians of the truth are nothing more than pawns in the hands of Satan to deceive the masses. When we take Satan's power seriously, we will not try to do battle with him ourselves, but rather plead with the Lord for his intervention. The Lord is the only one strong enough to overcome Satan and his schemes. This is why we must pray, not as though we had authority to cast out Satan or bind Satan, but our Lord Jesus has the power both to bind or cast out Satan, for Satan is no match for God's greater power. It is vitally important that all Christians learn how to stand against the devil. The reference to the armor of God is very instructive, teaching us how to prepare for battle and be good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. While the soldier of Ephesians 6 has plenty of armor to protect him, we notice that most of his armor is protective. His breastplate, shield, helmet, belt, and boots are all for his protection to keep him away from the devil's artillery. It is only the sword that is used for attacking the enemy. We see how Jesus used the sword of the Word of God to battle with Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. The protective armor speaks to us of prayer, service, holiness, and fellowship. When we are walking worthy of the Lord, we will give attention to all these spiritual activities, and that will give us strength and protect us from our enemy. These spiritual activities are normally practiced weekly by Christians, and for some daily. It is important to attend a church fellowship regularly, where we can pray with believers, serve the Lord, be accountable for our Christian life, and where we enjoy fellowship with other believers. As Christians meet and do these things, their spiritual life is nourished, and they are guarded from Satan. Buffalo have a very interesting and illustrative example of how they protect their young. If they sense a wolf or other predator nearby, they will form a circle with all the adult buffalo and their young ones inside that circle. By this means, the small ones are protected from the attack of the enemy. This principle can be applied to Christians as well. When Christians gather together, it is the mature ones who will watch over those who are younger in the faith, encircling them with prayer and teaching from God's Word to protect them from the enemy's attack. While battling Satan, remember our position is not to attack him, but to defend ourselves against his attack, and this happens through the spiritual weapon of prayer. We pray for God's protecting hand and say, "Deliver us from evil," as the Lord has taught us to pray. We are to flee from the devil and not allow him any foothold. This is done by constant attention and participation in the spiritual life of the local church, meeting with fellow believers for prayer, study of God's Word, and fellowship is a vital way to protect ourselves from Satan's attack. When we do feel Satan coming after us, that is when we draw the sword of the Spirit and quote Scripture. This is why it is important to know God's Word and memorize it. There will be times when we have to draw on our memory of certain verses in the Bible to help us face temptations and the enticement of Satan. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number six, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.